Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
All right, guys, how you doing? Happy Boxing Day.
Hope you had a good Christmas.
Day after Christmas. You always know it's Christmas because, like, the next day when you see people, they're wearing all the stuff they got.
Hey, nice, like, new Star Wars shoes, bro. Yeah,
I do have Star Wars shoes on. No, but do you have to wear two sweaters? It's like, yeah, we understand that your family got you things, but you don't have to wear the sweater and then the cardigan over the sweater.
And then the Baby Yoda shirt over that.
Yeah. You don't have to go, like, we get it. Your family got you more than just the thing.
Your family loves you.
If you just wore the Baby Yoda shirt, people would be like, wow, rough Christmas, huh? No,
do not.
People know that that's not the only gift. You don't have to wear it all. That feels like something that...
Space it out, man.
Space it out. But we have great stuff today. Today we're on the show. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Jason, we are so excited. We're joined by our buddy Adam Hawk in studio, Alvin DeLauro.
These guys gave up their holiday breaks to be here. Damn it, and I love them for it.
James Boccioni in New York, I love it. We're going to have a great show today. We've got great guests coming on the show today.
Gar Reines, the batting stance guy. Mike Hall's going to be talking. Hey, Bulls are heating up right now. Bull season is happening.
Did someone put the Bulls in the microwave? Because they're heating up. Hot takes.
Did someone go to a medicinal marijuana store?
Because the Bulls are heating up.
We got hot bowls.
Hot bowls.
Hot takes all day today.
We're here today and we're here tomorrow. We're going to try and cover everything that we've sort of laid out. We're going to talk about T.O. not being on lists. We're talking about
suing his storage company.
Antonio Brown being on lists he doesn't want to be on. Talk about Rich Hill and his wife trying to get into a Patriots game and getting arrested.
Not understanding how stadium security works.
Yeah, that seems like something they would not be that familiar with. But we'll get into that.
Johnny Manziel.
Johnny Football being asked, in our opinion, to represent what not to be at the Heisman Trophy. There are two paths you can go. You know what I mean?
Why
you could be
there?
Charles Woodson. You could be Johnny. We're going to put them both. Maybe put one on one side and one on the other. We're going to talk about that later on coming up in the show.
First, we got to talk about what happened yesterday in the NBA because that was
before we get to that, we have to talk about what we were just watching
before
we came on the air.
Yes. World's Strongest Man competition.
Which we did many times. Magnus Vermagnuson was when we did it on Cheap Seats.
The fact that
his first name and his last name were essentially the same thing. You got a kid whose last name is...
Big Ver Big.
Yeah. Giant Ver Giant.
That'd be if Mike Birbiglia was named Big Ver Big.
Birbiglia.
Doesn't make sense.
So we used to watch those, and those competitions were great. We were watching one just now, and it occurred to me as I was watching it on CBS Sportsnet that these guys, if you're watching with the volume down, they look like two really buff babies just picking up toys. You know what I mean? Like, and they pick it up like, look, Dad, look what I just did.
Like, that should be the end of each of the tasks.
Whether they say it out loud or not, they're saying, look.
Well, they're saying it inside to their dad because you only work out that much if your dad didn't love you. That's
you only
the only
work
way
out
you
that
go.
Much if you're working out. You're getting one rep away from something that happened to you.
You're trying to work out a problem inside of you, and then that turns into, like, ridiculous delts. The other thing about it that I love is that in all of the interviews, like the confessional interviews...
The guys are not wearing shirts.
I wonder if they showed up with shirts.
Shirts on, like, hey, take it off. Get that off of there.
They're not going to know
who
you are.
This is a strongman interview. How dare you wear a shirt to a strongman interview.
And then there was a competition where the only competition is you pick up a
huge stone that's impossible to pick up and put it over a bar.
To where your opponent
has to pick it up. And then the last person who can't pick it up loses. To me, it's like a reverse limbo.
Yes.
And it is the physical manifestation of couples therapy.
Right.
You're lifting something that's too difficult for you to lift up and then try to put it over a bar. And then you say, here, you deal with it, honey.
There's 99% of the time you're like, I need to give up right now.
That's right. This is too... How many times in couples therapy and couples who are out there who have been in therapy, you say, this is too much. This is too difficult. I don't need this.
I can't get the stone over the bar.
I can't get the stone over the bar. My favorite, as well as we were watching this, were the people who are at the competition because they're always on a beach somewhere.
The fans, and there's like holes in the amounts of fans that can be around.
So their families being asked to come hang out. They're like, hey, I know you're having a vacation in Croatia here, and I know you just want to see some of the Game of Thrones spots.
I know you two are fighting over where you're going to eat for dinner. We just need to fill in this corner.
Just grab your towels and your beach bag. We're just missing
us. Because the fans could not look less interested. Like, I don't know who travels to go see a strongman competition, but
where are you going? I'm going to Iceland this summer.
I'm in the gallery, man. They need me.
Travel on a tour of... Hey, listen, I know you're trying to get your kid to calm down a little bit, but we really need you to watch this Polish guy pull a tractor.
Hey, you're like, I know I'm a Hawaiian Raiders fan, but like, look.
Hey, bro.
Hey, Kenny, get down from there, bro.
Hey, bro.
Hey, bro. I got the kettle chips. Get down from underneath there, bro.
It was exciting, though. I will say this. We were riveted. We were sitting here watching this. We're like, is this giant baby going to pick this toy up? Is this going to happen right now?
It's like they shouldn't call it World's Strongest Man. They should call it Man versus Things. You know, man versus food. It's just man versus. Like, can we defeat this thing? Can we pick it up?
Can I pull this thing?
Have we advanced to a point where drugs plus working out can help a guy pick this thing up?
I don't know.
That's the question.
I don't know. Let me hear this shirtless guy in an interview describe it.
I would argue that what we saw this morning on World's Strongest Man came close, but it did not exceed the excitement that happened yesterday in the NBA.
Here's what I'll say. As Jews, we don't have to deal with, like, Christmas, we don't have to even worry about. You understand? Like, it's not, we're not beholden to Christmas. So, the NBA on Christmas Day
is the Christmas gift for us.
Thank you. It is like, thank you. It's so funny because we watch different games based on like the different timing of the day. You watch the first game. You watch the Raptors game.
Which was insane because the Raptors get out to like a 10-0 lead and you're like, ooh, this is going to be a happy Canada day. Canada's like taking it to our Christmas.
Canada's like, we believe in Jesus too. Here.
And then all of a sudden the Celtics are like, uh-uh.
Brad Stevens is like.
You can't be Catholic, Jesus.
Brad Stevens is like, I got a system.
Yeah.
And you got a Siakam, I got a system.
And Jaylen Brown was just like, remember when I wasn't in college for very long? Remember when everyone questioned why I went to Cal? Well, you watch that game and you're like, okay.
So is this the Jaylen Brown from a couple years ago when the Celtics almost beat LeBron, took him to game 7 and Jaylen Brown was all over that series?
Yes.
Like this was him. Dropping 30 every game and you're like, this guy's he's an unbelievable wing.
And he's so big. He has such great moves in the post. He has such great moves on the wing. He's a guy who, when you watch him play, you're like, I don't know a single person who can guard this guy. Because there were hands in his face as he was falling away and he was hitting shots. When he's on, he's unstoppable. And then you look to your left and you're like, oh, also Jason Tatum, mm-hmm. another guy who's cut out of that same cloth who can do those same things. It's kind of like a pick your poison.
And we were talking to Matt Weiner on Monday. You know, the idea of Kemba Walker, he may not be as good of a player as Kyrie Irving. I think we all kind of agreed the skill set might not be. You know, he was never able to take his teams as far as Kyrie took his teams. But he's better for this system. He's better for this team.
Absolutely. And you saw what happened against Toronto. They didn't get down. They didn't, you know, throw in the towel. They were down a little bit before you knew it. They were tied. Before you knew it, they were up 10-12, and they never looked back. So that was a game that I think... You know, out of the gates, it looked like it would be a laugher. Then all of a sudden, it goes the other direction, and just Toronto couldn't get back in it. And obviously, you know, they didn't have Siakam. They missed him. But, like, that's made me love the East. And that watching that game made me say, the playoffs are going to be great. Again, everyone says, hey, the NBA starts on Christmas Day. I get that a little bit because that's whenever the mass audience pays attention. If you've been paying attention to the NBA this year,
you know how good it is this year.
There's been a playoff atmosphere during the regular season.
The first game, and we'll get to this in a little bit, the first game of the year, the Clippers and the Lakers, to me, felt like a playoff game. And I tweeted this yesterday, and I believe it. I wish the Lakers and the Clippers played every game of every season till the end of time. Because those teams playing against each other, it is such a great and even matchup, and you just don't know where it's going. Now, I watched the Philly game, and you watched the Philly game too. That was a fascinating game. Just to see them taking Milwaukee, a team that has really not, I think their losses have been like 5 points and 3 points, but they took it to them. They were up 30 at one point, and then Milwaukee fights all the way back, without the Greek Freak.
Right.
I mean, they're fighting all the way back. I think they cut it to like 9.
And then it ended at like 11.
Yeah, or 13 or whatever.
But in that game, you see
Joel Embiid
emerges. He can shoot the three.
Here's what I thought as I'm watching that game. I'm like, he's great. He'll never be healthy enough to win. I was just like, he just used everything right here.
Well, that's possible. Doesn't he seem like he's got like Greg Oden, like old man body?
He does.
He has old man body.
He's got olden man body.
Yeah, he's got olden man body. There's a part of when you watch his game.
There is, but then he's playing defense on.
He's blocking him on the Greek transition. Freak. In that game when you're like, if Embiid is on his game and he's healthy, the 76ers, you have to acknowledge that they could pop. That's what's so great about the East. There are so many teams that you're like, if you're on right now, you're there.
So here's what happened yesterday. And I look at, because I believe that the 76ers and the Clippers are those are two teams that remind me of each other, okay? They have a lot of big guys. They added the right pieces, you know, to make those teams. I actually thought Al Horford played a great game as well. But you see, those two teams in both sides are just a notch below the best teams, which are Milwaukee and the Lakers. And both those teams won yesterday. They beat the best team in their respective division.
Every underdog won yesterday.
Conference.
That's part of why yesterday was so exciting across the board. It was a beautiful day.
The Lakers-Clippers game was just one of my favorites because when all the stars are out on the floor at the same time, like that's something that I understand load management. I totally get it, but I hate it. I absolutely hate it because there's a moment and I don't even know the guy's name. I'm going to purposely not know the guy's name on the Lakers, who basically looks like you and me.
Right.
Number four, Alex Caruso. Could be Robinson Caruso for me. Could be Robinson Cano. I have no clue if that guy's out.
Could be like David Schoenstein.
If I see Caruso on the floor, I'm like, what? Why? Why is this?
Why is Doug Schottenstein in there?
How many people are in foul trouble that Caruso's got to get on the floor right now? And no disrespect to Caruso. No, none whatsoever.
You don't even need to say that, Randy. You've given him no disrespect.
I give him no disrespect, but I'm saying to myself, I want to see Anthony Davis at the very top of his jumper, just literally almost shoot it down to the
basket
over Montrezl Harrell with an outstretched hand that he barely misses it. That's just a beautiful shot. That's a beautiful defensive effort.
Dwight Howard dunking and then staring in Montrezl Harrell's face.
So that was amazing.
That was a great moment, and that was a moment where I'm like, Harrell could probably kill you. I know you look like you're jacked and you...
He's the guy, Dwight Howard is the guy who just works out just his upper body at the gym. Back and by...
All day, four times a week.
Back and by, 4 days a...
And Montrezl Harrell.
Chest and try. You going to back and by again? No legs? You're not doing any legs? Yeah, just back and by and chest and try every day.
Meanwhile, Montrezl Harrell is the kind of guy's like, did I ever tell you guys about the time I beat up Kimbo Slice?
You're like, what? He's talking about that in between free throws. You're like, yeah, I was at a boat yard. I punched Kimbo Slice's eyeball out. May he rest in peace.
Seriously, may he rest in peace. And why he never was sponsored by Slice and Diet Slice
is beyond me.
That was one of the crimes of the century.
Opportunity, because Slice was really on the outside looking in on all that stuff.
Slice was poor man's Sprite. Slice was
poor man's Squirt.
Slice was Mr. Pibb to Dr. Pepper.
Slice was Mr. Pibb's friend who couldn't even get on a label. Okay,
it's so like team.
You should have immediately picked up Kimbo Slice and done it.
But that in a moment like that, when you see Montrezl Harrell stand up for his team, because he's doing what he was doing all
so
last year.
In the end, who won that game for the Clippers? Who won that game in the end? In the end, Pat Beverly won that game. The tenacity of and the spirit of Montrezl Harrell.
The pass from Lou Williams to Montrezl Harrell.
Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, and Pat Beverly. So those guys are the soul of the team, which allows Paul George, who didn't have the best game yesterday, but allows
Kawhi Leonard to nail a big three.
Exactly. It allows those guys to do what they do because Kawhi didn't have to make that defensive play on LeBron to knock it off his hand and out of bounds. Pat Beverly did.
That's right.
So just to me, it was so exciting. I literally was like, these guys have to be playing each other every game for the rest of the year. That would be the most
exciting. It's rare when a day of games deliver for me and make me feel like I'm happy to
be watching.
And
then the Pelicans game. which
The Warriors beat the Rockets.
The Rockets cannot beat any version of the Warriors. They just can't.
Clones, what do we want when we're craving protein or we need more energy? Let me answer that by telling you what we don't want. We do not want a bar or a sugary snack or an energy drink. No, we want beef, pure and simple. Where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your old man's jerky. Shriveled, dry, tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. So it's tender and it's tasty. It's not tough. What makes it so good? The company behind it. Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for its relentless commitment to quality. They take smoked beef very seriously. You can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein, and it comes in four amazing flavors to satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach. So look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. You can see the quality you're buying. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
Khalid?
Yes.
There we go. There we go. Squad Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. We should have teased this last because I'm so excited about who we have on the phone right now. He was, when we were at University of Michigan, he was playing for the Detroit Lions. And just ripping it up, had some of the best years as a receiver.
In 1995, over 120 receptions, 1,600 yards receiving.
I'm talking about, and he's going to be helping out at the Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center Bowl, giving out scholarships at halftime. We're talking about the great Herman Moore. Herman Moore joins us right now. Sir, how you doing?
Hey, I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Are you excited about the bowl game tonight? It's going to be a great game. Eastern Michigan and Pitt.
Oh, it should be a really good game. If you want to see a good offense in Eastern Michigan, you want to see a good, solid defensive team in Pitt, this is your game. So it's a good matchup. It's a good ACC versus MAC contender, you know, a good MAC team in Eastern Michigan Eagles. Should be a good game. Plus, I think we're going to have pretty good fan turnout for this particular game.
Well, you got a lot of people who love Pat Narduzzi in the state of Michigan. Certainly not in the Ann Arbor side of Michigan, but you think about what he did in East Lansing and made his name with those defenses, and it's kind of translated to what's going on in Pitt. I mean, Pitt almost beat Penn State this year.
Penn State. So they definitely have the ability to win and win defensively.
Yeah, they do. And being 7-5, and Pitt has been in post season play and have an opportunity to play in these bowl games over the last several years. So this is becomes kind of a norm for them. But defensively, they've been one of the better teams, definitely over in ACC. But as you mentioned, you know, when you bring a coach that brings that type of experience to the table, you expect that out of the team. And the Eastern Michigan Eagles are going to accept that challenge. They're coming out of the MAC at 6-6, but this is their second consecutive bowl game. So they're looking forward to, you know, like I said, they're very excited. I had an opportunity to spend some time with both teams. That's what the Quick Lane Bowl is about. It's about rewarding these young men with an extra game because of their play during the year, and we're excited to have them.
Eastern beat Illinois this year before Illinois kind of went on that huge run that they did, but it's not a bad Illinois team that they beat. So it is going to be a fascinating game just down the road from Ypsilanti, so you will have a lot of Eastern Michigan people there at the game. And we just can't wait tonight. It's going to be this is why I love bowl season, because you get to see these sorts of matchups. So I can't wait. Let's switch gears and talk about the NFL just briefly right now. You played at a time, a very different time than it is right now. I know it doesn't seem that long ago, but different time in terms of the way players were protected, the way offenses now are, and you're seeing the emergence of quarterbacks like a Lamar Jackson and systems being molded to fit guys like that. When you see the NFL today, how are you seeing it differently than when you played it?
Well, they're willing to try something a little different. The athletes are a little different. There can be an argument made, you know, whether or not they're more versatile. But I definitely believe you have some really good group of athletes that come in. The positions and the sizes of what a linebacker or a defensive end looked like before has changed. You know, the down guys versus the stand-up guys that are kind of hybrid linebackers slash defensive end rushing. And then you got your receivers who are just slightly undersized as tight ends, but they're playing wide receiver.
Right.
Defensive backs have gotten bigger and stronger. You know, so it's a game that's evolving. It's changing. The collisions are a lot bigger. But the rules, I think, are protecting them at a different level that if they were playing with the same size and strength back when we played, I think the collisions would be even worse because we had some really big guys back then. You know, yeah. You had Waters and Ronnie Lotz and those guys at safety, so it wasn't anything to sneeze at.
Right, exactly. All right, well, let's talk about the Lions. Lions bringing back Matt Patricia. He's got 9 wins in the last 2 years. Has not really lived up to the billing that you hoped that he would as a Belichick disciple. How do you feel about the Lions moving forward?
And how long do they go with this?
Yeah, how long do they, exactly?
Well, we definitely know they're going to go one more year.
Yep.
And that was made clear because there was a lot of things stirring here regarding whether or not you make that change right now. And I know a lot of people looking for stability. They're looking for not to see this coaching change happen so frequently. But after the Jim Caldwell piece, I think that's left a little bit of a bitter taste in the mouth of some of those that were Caldwell fans.
Yep.
And they're looking at you know, the output that they've gotten from Coach Patricia, and it's not adding up. So I think it's leaving a lot of people to question right now, What is the bar? You know, what are the mission and the vision of this team in terms of what determines if it's a winning program, if it's not a winning franchise or not? I see it as this is an ownership that still hasn't changed in terms of it wants to win.
So yeah.
Anyone who wants to question that, I can tell you first and foremost, this is a dedicated Ford family. When you bring in these different individuals that are bringing these changes, they go after, it seems like, coaches that they think that instantaneously the fans are geared up to say, hey, we should win right now.
Mm-hmm.
But there's obviously a different plan at play here because after going into the third year, I don't think there's anyone that would say that there's been success from what we've seen. So we're hoping that in the next year, this third year is going to produce some results that, you know, should have come, I think, a lot of people thought a little bit earlier.
Yeah, and it feels like they're up against it a little bit with the Vikings being so good and the Packers being so good. It's they're definitely at a tough time in that division doing what they need to do. But the question is, what's the piece that they could possibly pick up in terms of drafting that could change the picture? Because when I think about the Lions at their best, I'm thinking about Lions with good offense. I'm thinking about Lions with a Barry Sanders type back.
Megatron.
Yes, stuff like that. And obviously you. And I'm thinking about, you know, who's an offensive piece that they could possibly look to pick up in this next draft that could maybe change the complexion of how they're doing?
It's a tough one to say. And here's why I say that. Every year we looked at, even this past year, we picked up these, you know, the linemen we picked up over the last couple of years. We got another tight end to replace what we thought wasn't going to work with Eric Ebron, but yet he went out and be all Pro Bowl receiver tight end. Then you get T.J. Hockenson, who started out strong, got injured, but I think he's going to be a good player. There's, you know, players in on the linebacking unit. So you think you keep plugging up these holes and made some free agent picks and getting Flowers and getting some other guys that come in and say, okay, we got some we've solidified a lot of what we thought were weaknesses. Well, what do you do with this year's draft? You go out and you're looking to pick up some of the same things you just picked up in free agency.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's player development. I think that's what I'm looking at, saying, are the right people in place to develop these players? Are the right people in place to assemble the team that can take players that may not be championship caliber today, but we get them in with our coaching, with our philosophy and our system, we can now change and move that needle? Because it doesn't matter who you bring in. The system itself has got to work.
That's right.
We've seen that. So every year, I mean, who's going to say San Francisco, Baltimore? Look at what has happened.
That's right.
So I don't look at it as the draft being the savior as much as it's an opportunity to add on to your team. And the Lions are going to have to figure out right now Do they have all the pieces in place, not just on the field, but also in the front office?
We're talking to Herman Moore, the great Herman Moore, almost 10,000 career yards. That's unbelievable. You talk about some of the greatest receivers of all time. We're at the end of the year, at the end of a decade. A list just came out of the 100 greatest receivers of all time.
100 greatest NFL players of all time, and they just talked about the receivers. T.O. left off that list.
T.O. not upset on that list. What do you think about that? There is no reason that he should be left off that list.
There is no reason for him to be left off at all. And it's not about what you like. And that's the thing that bothers me about lists. That's what bothers me.
Yep.
And I've said this about the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I don't even understand the Pro Bowl anymore.
Yeah.
It's just something that you take it like a grain of salt and just move on, because everybody's going to have their favorites. The guys that played in a certain era, they're going to say it's different. And it is different. And it's no disrespect to them, because I think they played in conditions and with technology that's totally different. They put them at a much different disadvantage in development, physically and mentally, than what some of the guys have now. So it's they didn't get to train 24 hours a day if they wanted to, and 365 days a year. So it's just different. But T.O. to be left off, that tells you enough of what you need to know about the list.
There
you
agree.
That tells you what you need to know about the list. Well, I'll tell you something. I can't wait to see you tonight. The Quick Lane Bowl, 8 p.m. Ford Field, broadcast on ESPN. Pittsburgh Panthers, the Pitt Panthers, and the Eastern Michigan Eagles. You're going to be there at halftime, giving out scholarships, doing a great job. Thanks so much for joining us on the show today, Herman.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Have fun tonight. Herman Moore. How do you like that?
I'm excited about this opening bowl game. Love that he was on the show. Love what he had to say.
It's not the opening bowl game. There have been other bowl games,
I know, but to me, it almost like it. There have
been other bowls. Do bowl games start after Christmas for you, Jay?
They kind of do.
Ridiculous.
They're heating up right now. Okay. It feels like we can turn our eyes towards college football.
I love
after
what he said
Christmas
about lists. If T.O.'s not on the list, then that tells you what you need to know about the list. We'll talk about that in a little bit. All right, guys, we are back. That was a fantastic conversation with Herman Moore. Dude knows his stuff, and I love how connected he still is to the Lions. And he talked about...
Clearly cares.
Cares, and it's great because some of our boys in Detroit were listening and watching right now. And
our buddy John Cusheri texted us and said, Herman hit the nail right in the coffin.
Which I don't know if you want to... let's not bury the Lions yet. Although
said it's
many people,
not the ownership that's the issue. It's the ownership's loyalty to front office people that do not know what, and then he used an expletive, they're doing.
Right.
So essentially, Herman Moore not afraid to step up and say, this is a player development issue in Detroit.
This is
an issue of people not knowing how to move the pieces that they've got and make that better. You need to stop being loyal to, there's not a loyalty to the head coach. Stop being loyal to the guys that aren't developing.
Right.
That's important. Good point, John.
And he talked about T.O. not being on the list of the great. He's like, that'll tell you what the list is.
So I think there's an NFL Network thing. Our buddy Rich Eisen's involved with that. And I love what they're doing. I think the list is interesting. And he doesn't love lists. I think they're fascinating to see how we can kind of categorize people throughout time.
That's right.
But last week, they got to their receivers part of the list, top 100. Mm-hmm. Devin Funchess, surprisingly, left out. Ron Funchess off the list. Which
comedian Ron Funchess not on that list.
T.O., as we mentioned to Herman Moore, left off of the list of top 100 receivers of all time, Randy. That
top 100 players of all time.
Top 100 players, receivers in that group.
How many receivers were on that list? You got to say if there's 10, 12.
No, there were less. I think it was like five or six. I mean,
There should be more receivers on that list, number one. Obviously.
So he was mad. T.O. was mad about this. Now, I don't know if it's sit-ups in his driveway mad or...
crying about my quarterback. It's my quarterback.
It's my quarterback.
Is he that mad?
It's my quarterback. Not ripping off.
It's really unfair.
It is unfair.
It is unfair.
It's my quarterback.
That's my quarterback. It's almost like he...
It's my team.
Yep.
It's my quarterback.
Yeah, okay. There it is.
He's almost drifting into global warming.
He's all like, that is his version of global warming.
Exactly. Global warming.
Quarterback.
So
Christy Alley.
Chris.
Val Kilmer.
That's my Christy Alley.
Really unfair.
See, it's the same thing.
It's the same voice crack. But he wasn't that mad. He wasn't like, let's put on a Century 21 jacket and do a...
rip off the label and do my version of a Hall of Fame induction. He's not that mad, but he was mad.
In a tweet, he said the voters were despicable. And I think that's about right.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I want to always side with T.O.
So let's just look at the numbers, and I've got it right here. Number three receiver all time in terms of yards, 15,934.
We just had Herman Moore on, who had an amazing career, just under 10,000.
Yeah, 9,100, whatever he had. Number three in terms of receiving TDs with 156. Number three of all time. He should be.
Marvin Harrison made the list with worse numbers than T.O.
Marvin Hamlisch almost made the list, and he is a composer.
Marvin Harrison was so excited to make the list, he almost forgot to put a Civil War weapon into a car wash bucket.
Yeah. That's how excited he was that he made the list over T.O.
Randy Moss, of course, made the list with less, with slightly better numbers, I guess, in certain areas than T.O., but still.
So the Randy Moss Rand University 30 for 30.
Your favorite moment.
My favorite moment is when he talks about how he got into the fight and he just glosses over the fact that he stomped on a guy's neck.
Twice.
I just stomped on his neck twice and that was it. You're like, wait, let's go back to that. I mean, that was like his description of it in that moment was like, so I just went to the store and I came right back.
So Owens tweeted, or rather subtweeted someone else's tweet about how it's a travesty with the statement, pure hate.
Mm-hmm. Is it all pure caps, hate?
Followed by God is good. Is she good? I don't know if God's good in this case.
If she's not putting you on this list, I don't know if she's good.
I mean, this could be a chance for you to be like, God's all right.
Yeah.
God's not exactly.
This would be the opportunity to be like, what's up, God?
God not having a good game.
Hey,
right,
God,
now.
Where are you at? You taking a few plays off, God? I would love to see that.
God dropped the ball on this one, which is something I rarely did. I should be on the list.
God, get God off the list and put me on it.
Remember when the Eagles played the Patriots?
I think God had 14,000 yards. I had 15,983. So I should be on the list.
Do you remember when the Eagles played the Pats in the Super Bowl? Yeah. And it basically T.O. like single-handedly tried to will the Eagles to a victory.
On a broken leg?
Yeah. That, to me, that is enough. That's put him enough. On the list.
That's enough. If he had Marvin Harrison numbers and he did that, put him on the list.
Third best receiver in terms of yards and TDs. Took him three tries to get into Canton.
Three tries. That'd be like James Brown not getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Why are you treating James Brown like Bobby Brown?
Don't do that. Don't do that. And that's your prerogative to do that, but don't do it.
Don't do that.
Look, if I'm Owens, I'm looking at the list and I'm like, Elroy Crazy Legs Hirsch?
And just being like, what?
Seriously?
Elroy Hirsch. Fine.
He's in there?
He was a converted running back.
Started off as a running back. Five years into his career, became a wide receiver.
You're telling me he's better than T.O.?
That'd be like putting Pat Tilley on that list.
Or Mel Gray.
Or Roy Green.
Or any other 1980s St. Louis football Cardinal receiver that we watched but never did anything.
Although Roy Green was pretty good.
Roy Green was a two-way
and so
player.
Was Mel Gray.
Mel Gray was a great player, too. Pat Tilley was good, too.
But they're not on the list good.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you put those guys on if you're putting Elroy Hirsch on there? Come on.
You still need to do that.
I'm going to say this. And I know Herman Moore talked about it briefly in the interview that we had with him. He said, you got to honor other eras of the NFL because they were different conditions. They didn't have the same. I mean, didn't we do a thing on Cheap Seats where, who was Deacon Jones had like a summer job, like a day job?
Deacon Jones was selling medical supplies in the off season.
Like he's doing an interview for NFL Films and some guy's busting in like, Deacon, we need some more gauze pads.
Deacon, where are those hypo needles? He's like literally talking about the fearsome foursome, and he's like, where are the adult diapers, Deacon?
Deacon, you need to turn in your files. And it's like, no, don't.
Don't ask Deacon to turn in his time card.
So yes.
Merlin
obviously.
Olsen is selling flowers and doing little
house on
the
prairie. He's like working at an FTD florist.
He's not even just as a spokesman. He's pulling a shift.
Valentine's Day bouquets. So look, yes, it's a different time. Yes, training is different. Yes, it's a whole different ballgame, right? I mean, Herman Moore said it's different today than it was in the 90s.
That's right.
Guys are bigger. Guys are stronger. Guys are faster.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. And you have to take that somewhat into account. But let's be honest.
Chris Carter off the list, too. And all he does is
complain about not being on lists.
That's all he does. It's not the worst thing that happened to T.O., by the way. Not the worst thing that happened to T.O. recently.
What is it?
It's not even the worst thing. Anytime T.O.'s in the news,
you're never like, oh.
It's not for something good. It's like he donated a bunch of money to support a local highway cleanup.
No,
that's not. That's not why he's.
That's TMZ is not going to run that story. No way. No way.
T.O. right now is showing Antonio Brown what his life will be like in several years. And Antonio Brown right now is showing OBJ what his life will be like in 5 years. So look ahead, fellas. Look ahead, because that's what it is.
So he's in the news not just for being mad about not being on the list.
He's mad. He's in the news because he's suing his storage company.
Yeah.
Now where's he going to do his sit-ups? Where's he going to do his circuit training? Okay, he was doing it out in the area, the driveway in front of that thing. Where is this guy going to circuit train now, Jay?
I don't know. When I saw him do that whole separate Hall of Fame thing, like not in Canton, like not willing to acknowledge that
That's the moment where you're like, he's going to sue his storage company.
Yeah, I give him 2 years, then he sues the storage company.
Yep.
And look what happened.
He's saying his storage company stole $1 million worth of stuff from him, and that's just it.
$1 million worth of stuff? Why are you keeping $1 million worth of stuff in your storage?
By the way,
unit?
This is what you hear crazy meth head people say. Like, my storage company took $1 million worth of stuff from me. That's like the biggest number that they can think of, and that's right. But I mean, I guess this happened. A storage company stole $1 million worth of my stuff.
Like, why do you don't have a basement in your house?
Like, when I hear that phrase, I say to myself, we don't have enough supplementary programs to help the homeless in our communities.
Right.
That's, you hear that phrase, you gotta do something.
Something. $1 million worth of stuff.
If it comes out of T.O.'s mouth, I'm like, buy a safe, dude. Buy a safe. Why is all of your expensive stuff in a storage unit?
Doesn't make sense.
Better locks. Don't put it in other people's hands. He said memorabilia, a bunch of stuff he had in there, gone. Why you just keep it in your house?
Well,
man.
They're saying that when he stopped. Or if you're going to keep it in there, don't stop making the payments on the storage unit.
They said that watch Storage Wars, but I'm assuming when you don't make your payments, that's when they come in and have the big auction.
Right. Is that right? Hawk, do you watch that?
Is that it?
Alvy, do you watch Storage Wars?
Something like that.
Okay. That's exactly it. All right. So what happens is they say,
You stop making your payments.
We're going to have an auction. Then creepy people come out of the woodwork and they're like, I'm going to get this thing that I don't need.
They got your stuff. By the way, that is the last place in the world you want to stop paying.
It's the storage place that's holding your million dollars worth of stuff.
They're like, we have your stuff and we could change the lock on it.
Why do you trust that? There are people who work there. Like, who in their right mind would be like, I'm going to leave millions of dollars of this stuff with a guy with two teeth who's sitting in like a windowless office by himself with everybody's stuff all day long? You think he's not going to like walk through and maybe like swipe one thing? I can make a copy of every key.
You know what he has to think about all day? You know what you're thinking about, T.O.? You're thinking about how you're not on the top 100 players of the NFL all time list. He's thinking about how can I make this storage unit system work for me? Yeah. He's thinking, who can I take one thing from that they'll never miss, and then I'll sell it. And if I take one thing from,
because I guarantee you, every single person is like, I thought we put this in the storage unit.
That's it.
There's someone else in their life going like, you didn't keep good enough track of it.
That's right.
So they're going to blame each other.
Then they're like, I put it in the basement. And then they're like, it's gone. That's how if they just take, it's like office space. If we just take 1 cent off everybody's thing, then we're rich.
That's what this guy's thinking. And you're keeping $1 million worth of stuff there?
It's ridiculous.
T.O.
is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Come on, T.O. You're off the list, and that's not a good thing. And we're on your side on that, but you can't sue your storage company.
And look, here's the deal. T.O.'s storage unit on Storage Wars, though, I don't watch the show. I would watch that.
T.O.'s auction on storage, and just him, as he's trying to argue with them, still circuit training right in front of it, would be the greatest thing ever.
Or him saying, or getting in on the bidding on his own stuff.
Good night,